Okay. If you don't know who that is, if you're new, or if you've just never met her, that's Sammy Schmiesing. She's one of the grandchildren of Debbie Manning. And this is the energy I like to try to pump myself up with every day that I preach. Just like that little, I'm preaching today. And it feels like just very gay energy, even though she's just a child. So I wanted to play that. It's my favorite video. Hey, y'all. My name is Jay. If we haven't met, I am one of the pastors here at the table. And tonight, it's Pride Night. This is actually our slide from last year, but what it really does, I think, display like what we believe in terms of our engagement with being an affirming church and what it means to have a Pride service, which is the idea that we believe in mutual flourishing and abundant life for all. And so that's what we're all about. But tonight, I'm talking about something different than flourishing and abundant life. I'm going to be taking us through a wild ride from apocalypse to blessing and into what like the hope for the future is. So we're going to do like a little bit of a roller coaster ride up from apocalypse and into hope. And so that might not sound, that might sound a little jarring to some of you, but then for those of you who might be theology nerds, that might make perfect sense to you. So let's see if I can do it. All right, so I've talked about apocalypse before in here, and I want to see if any of the kids might have been paying attention when I gave you the definition of apocalypse. Does anyone remember the definition of apocalypse? Lil?
The end of something.
Okay, so Lil said the end of something. It's actually not the end of something. The Greek apocalypse. Does anyone, even an adult, any adults remember when I talked about apocalypse, what the Greek apocalypse means? Someone who didn't go to seminary. Okay, well, I'll move us along. Apocalypse, at its most like sort of technical definition, is an uncovering or an unveiling of something. So in our modern times, we think of it as like the end of the world, end times sort of thing. But really what an apocalypse is an unveiling. And so tonight I want to talk to us about what queer folks can teach us and show us about God's revealing or uncovering of things in our world. If you are a queer or a trans person here tonight, you know that a big part of your experience, whether you're out or not, is an uncovering, an unveiling of the truth that lies beneath, whether that is the truth to yourself, whether that is an unveiling and an uncovering, an apocalypse to those around you, that to others may feel like the end of the world, but to you has felt like the beginning of yours. That the queer experience at its core, the beginning of it, is sort of an apocalypse now moment. It is sort of this coming to know your truest self, your most native and deep sense of yourself, of your created and beloved nature, your relationship with God, your relationship with being a creature who is loved and made very good. I think for me as a queer and a trans person, my life has been a lot of different moments of uncovering and unveiling. And for allies in the room, there might be moments in your life where you've had uncoverings and unveilings, ruptures in your life of tearing apart of your theology, a tearing apart of your sense of who the church told you God loves, of who you thought that the church was for. Raise your hand if you've ever had that uncovering, if you're not a queer person, and if you've had that rupture, you've had that apocalypse, that unveiling. I think that's, very present and very real. And so regardless of if we are queer or we are not, or trans or we're not, there are moments in the Christian life that require unveiling or an uncovering. And in the Bible, many prophets, right, prophecy to speak and to communicate God's will, God's direction, God's judgment, God's justice to the world. There are often times in the Bible where prophets are preceded by apocalypse. There are apocalyptic texts in the Bible that are not about like the world ending, but are about clear and strong ruptures and uncovering of a moment for prophets to then speak out of that to point people in the direction of something new. So if you're following me, I think, right, that an apocalypse precedes then a moment where you get to now dream about what's possible next. Right? You can't move forward until you've uncovered the thing that you need to rectify, that you need to turn away from, that you need to improve on, whether that's a personal thing or an institutional thing. So apocalypse moments give us opportunities for hope. And to have hope, I talked last week at Temple Israel about Numbers 6 and the priestly blessing, which is what most churches use as their benediction. We don't here because we have our special benediction, but many churches across the world, across time, have used the priestly blessing from Numbers 6 to bless people and send them, which is, may the Lord bless you and keep you. It's that blessing, right? Have most of us heard that blessing before, more or less? Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that blessing was a blessing given by God to Aaron to give to the Kohenites to then be people who were able to be priests to the nation. But blessings, I think, are a really good thing to follow apocalypses. I don't know if that's the true Greek multiple. I didn't do great in Greek. What? I know. I don't know, dude. Marian, I don't know about Greek, but apocalypses. Because blessings, if you don't know, kids, we kind of talked about blessings, right, Gracie? Tommy, you were there when we did blessings, Lil? And what was a blessing? What did we talk about a blessing being? A blessing is something that we give or say to what? To people,
to comfort
people, and to express hope, right? We talked about blessings. Sorry if you're on the podcast. There are moments I like to ask, we like a little crowd participation up here. Blessings are at their core. Rabbi Yoel Kahn at a Beth El congregation in Berkeley, California says, blessings at their core are expressions of hope. They are in words and in gestures, an expression to God and to our communities, our deepest aspirations and yearning for what we hope to see God's work in the world be and do and express itself as. So when you bless and send somebody, you don't know what their week's gonna look like. You don't know what they're gonna experience when they walk out your doors. But when you benedict and you bless and you send people, it's because you have an aspiration, a hope, that when they leave the doors, God will be with them. And that they will experience love. And they will continue to experience transformation and justice in their life. That's why we bless people when we send them. It's to express hope for the rest of the days of the week you're not going to see them. Numbers 6 and the priestly blessing in modern Jewish communities is also used as a blessing on Shabbat Friday. Shabbat Fridays, Jewish families across the world have dinner with their families, and at the beginning, many Jewish families choose to put hands on their children and to recite the priestly blessing from Numbers chapter 6. Why? Because at its core, raising up children is about aspirations that you have. You do not yet know what your child's life will look like. You do not yet know how they will grow and how they will present who they truly are. But what a blessing on your children is to express to God and to your children and to your family structure the things that you hope most deeply to see in their lives. Right? That's the use of a blessing. And blessings help us tap into what we most deeply yearn to see in the world. And to do that, we must first have an unveiling of what we even need yet, like what we're not experiencing yet, what things are not present and tangible to our senses and to our experience of the divine and of community and of world and of society. We have to tap into those uncoverings, the queer apocalypse in our life, to know what we still need for queer and trans people in our world. Because if we're not opening ourselves to first the thing that is uncovered in our lives, then we cannot know yet what we hope for our very queer futures. And the future is queer whether you are queer or not. Right? So there, we have apocalypse, we have blessing, and now let's get into imagination. Because to do anything with blessing, you have to have a really good imagination. Raise your hand if you feel like you have a good imagination. Yes, good, good, good. Imagination is important. And as children, we typically harness it for play. When I was a kid, I did nothing but imaginative play. Like, I was pretending I was that little boy from the movie Free Willy, and I would stand up on my couch, and I would, like, raise up my hand like this, and I'd pretend there was an orca whale jumping over me. I had a dual disc. I would pretend I was in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Universe, and I was, like, dueling my brother. I would play house. I would also play garage sale where my brother would dupe me out of all of my toys because he would be my buyer and I would be selling and he'd convince me to sell it for nothing, right? I was imaginative. I loved to act out the realities that I thought about in my head into the world. I liked to glimpse into the world that I could be a dragon or I could be the boy in Free Willy. I could free that orca. And imagination is such a powerful thing that often feels like it starts to escape us as adults. But it is a key part of understanding God's hope and work in our world to have an imagination. How many of you have something really strong you're hoping for our world, or for your life, for your community, for your family? Something strong that every day it either feels like it's haunting you, it feels like it's tearing apart your heart, or it's just worrying you, like you've just got anxiety. It could be personal, it could be geopolitical, it could be anything. But we all have those hopes that hit us at the deepest part of our soul that we think about every day. And imagination, imaginariness, tells us that that future we hope for is imaginary. Everything you hope for is imaginary, which sounds dismissive, but is actually hopeful. The lasting peace you pray for, it's imaginary. The real and meaningful equality for LGBTQ folks in our communities is imaginary. The complete safety and affirmation of all of our LGBTQ community members and siblings is imaginary. But I don't mean that to say it's impossible. I don't mean that to say it's stupid or childish. What I mean is that in its most technical sense, those things only exist in our collective imagination. And your imagination is beautiful. Your imagination is the faculty that you use, that I use, that we all use as humans, that we've been gifted with, that helps us create new ideas, new concepts that are not yet tangible to our lived reality. So for it to be imaginary means that our role with God is to start glimpsing it into our reality. It's a hopeful thing. To say that full affirmation of queer folks is not yet a reality, but it's imaginary, is to say that we get to be a part of creating that future. That is, queer folks, things for us that exist in our lived realities now used to be imaginary, and we get to every day wake up with the benefit of having been someone who wanted to glimpse that into our lives, or who made that a reality with God and in our own action, our own uncovering. So we might be losing it a little bit, like I'm jumping all over the place, but here's what I'm saying. I wake up every day living in the glory and benefits of the uncoverings of my life that help me live authentically and truly. And that once was imaginary. When I did imaginary play, I would always play as a boy. I was assigned female at birth, and I played house, I was the dad, I was the brother. If I was playing dragons, I was like a boy dragon named something very masculine. If I was playing any game, I played as a boy because I was using my imagination to try to glimpse into the now, what I needed so deeply, what I most natively yearned for in my heart, my body, my soul, as a transgender person. Are you following me? That God was in my imaginary play, playing a boy, because God knew that I needed the blessing, the hope, the imagination, that that reality was possible. And because I didn't meet other trans people, I started to feel it was an impossibility. And my life force dwindled. And I felt dead to the world. I felt dead to myself. But when I encountered another trans person as a young person, my life force came alive again. It was a blessing. Their life, their identity, their living as themselves, their being open, their being out, was a blessing to my life because it showed me the reality that I'd been imagining for over a decade. Their life was a blessing, an expression of hope to me, because finally I could see a body, a person, a tangible reality that was the thing that I yearned for most deeply in my soul. If you are queer, have you had that experience? Your pre-coming out life, you encounter a person, a tangible reality, living a full and whole life, whether you knew them well or not, but that you encountered their life and it opened something in you. It uncovered something for you and it blessed you as an expression that your hopeful future was possible. And it might have taken you more decades to get there. And it might have taken you more steps to come out. But that's part of the queer experience. To experience others as blessings, to have hope that a lived reality is possible. So in our world right now, when we feel like all these laws, all this hate is bearing down on us, might we remember we can use our imaginations and our play, or not play, but our acting into the world and bringing it into reality to fight back. To glimpse it into our church, into our worship, into our prayers. It used to be imaginary that we could have a pride service. That used to be imaginary. To have a church that is open and affirming, that used to be imaginary. But it's a reality now. So you're getting where I'm going, yeah? Integrated churches, those used to be imaginary. In many places, they're still very imaginary. There are so many things that we're living with now that are beautiful, that are whole, that are affirming, that were once imaginary. So I'm inviting you to tap into what does your imagination mean for the hopeful future? Can you imagine the participation to move towards something that more closely matches your understanding of God's presence in the world? To create something out of nothing, or out of chaos, or out of confusion or fear. The first blessing God gave the earth was creation itself. In Genesis, it says God blessed creation, not just the humans, but before humans showed up, God blessed them and sent them. The creatures of all the earth. God's creation was a blessing in that it was a creation of something new from absolutely nothing. Am I right, Damarian?
Yeah.
So can we embody that creative power? Can we tap into our vision for God's church and people? I think so. So we went from apocalypse to blessing to imagination. I want to appeal to you all that to walk with God does not mean that you have to walk in church doors every single Sunday. If that's hard for you, I want to say you might not be able to imagine a life without church, which is fine, and some of you might not be able to imagine coming back to a church ever again. But that God's walk with you is not about what you are or are not doing, but it's about tapping into your deepest yearning of what you sense God's presence in your life really is. To continue walk in your imagination and to continue to lean into those uncoverings. Of course, I'm a staff of the church, and so I'd love if you all show up every Sunday. But if you get nothing else, it's that you have been made very good, exactly as you are, and that God's creative power is within you to imagine what your next step is. It might not be about your queerness, because many of you are not queer. It might not be about deep political things. It could just be about a friendship. It could be about your marriage. It could be about your family. It could be about this church or your church or any church, the Big C church. It could be just about your neighborhood. To have an imagination, to tap into your yearning. I want to end us with two questions. I'm going to end us with two questions and allow Marta time to tell the younger kids to transition. I want you to think about these two things. First, what is one thing that you get to wake up every day and feel the joy of the now reality that was once imaginary? What is one thing that used to be imaginary in your life that you get to wake up every day and be so grateful is your reality? That you could sing the praises of any day of your life, but it used to not be real to you. Second question is, what is one thing that you deeply, deeply yearn for in your body and in your soul? That is imaginary right now to you. It doesn't exist to you, but you can imagine it. And you want to move towards that reality. What is one thing in your life that is imaginary that you deeply need in your life? Those are two questions I want to leave you with this week to think about, to share with the people in your life about. Because the amazing thing about trying to make those imaginary things come true is that often the catalyzing moment, or the moment that kicks it all off to make it real, is you uncovering it and saying it to another person. This very congregation used to be imaginary. If you've been here since the beginning, you know this used to be imaginary. And now it's real, and we show up every Sunday. That's hopeful. So what are those things for you? I want you to think about that, to meditate on it, and to share it with the people in your lives. I want to invite you to be vulnerable with your community, with your family, with your friends, to uncover to them what that yearning is that you've been sitting with. All right, we are going to move into communion. And I'm going to invite some friends up to help me with words of institution. But before I do that, I do want to say a couple words about communion. It's a little different tonight, so I just want to make sure I don't forget to say all these things, okay? So communion, our table is an open table. It is fully open and free to all. Nothing you need to earn or deserve being welcome to take communion. And we understand communion does not feel soul affirming and filling for all, and so you are not expected to take communion. However, we are today offering our unicorn snot anointment on people's hands or forehead, if you would like it. And so you are welcome to take communion and then receive a glitter blessing. You are also welcome to take communion and skip the glitter, and you are welcome to take glitter and skip communion. You are also welcome to just sit there and reflect quietly. This is glitter. It's totally up to you. We welcome you to whatever feels like your most true sense of God's presence with you in this moment. All of our communion bread is gluten-free, and we use juice, so it is accessible to those who are not able to intake alcohol, okay? What? Yeah, we don't have alcohol. It's just juice. You poured the juice, my guy. All right, come up here. I'm inviting up my two friends. Can you introduce yourself? Just yell your name because there's no microphones.
My name's Zamarion.
My name's Tommy.
And they're going to help me with words of institution. So you guys, I'm telling the story of Jesus' institution of communion, and you know, right, that it was a time when Jesus met with friends and with community to be with them on his last night. And in that last night, he took bread, and he broke it. Who wants to break the bread? He broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body, present with you and given for you to remember me, even when I'm not with you. And in the same way, after dinner, he took a cup and he blessed it and he passed it around for every single person there to drink, even those who would betray him. And he gave it for all, saying that this is my blood in the new covenant, which means new promise, given for you and for all people. Drink of this to remember me. You guys can sit down. Thank you. I think communion is actually a moment where Jesus, there were many moments that Jesus glimpsed something imaginary. And communion was the beginning of something that previously was imaginary. And so we invite you to partake in this now open and loving reality. We have communion servers, and they will be standing up here. The glitter blessings will be over there. Please stand and rise with us as we repeat the prayer which Jesus taught us. Okay. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for each and every beloved child of God. Please come to the table. Before I read the typical benediction that we do each week, I want to impress it upon you, if it was not clear enough in the whole sermon, to me standing up here, being able to say that I am queer, that I am transgender, my partner is here, and that you're all cool with that, and no one's fired me. That was once imaginary, but it's a reality now. But it first took my ancestors, trans and queer clergy, and your ancestors, the beginnings and the inklings of affirming Christians, it took them imagining something greater for God's expression of love in this world. So, in addition to our benediction, I want to bless you to go out and to be that blessing and expression of hope to everyone you meet in this world, to let people know that's not imaginary anymore. That is a reality. I'll read our benediction this evening. I will walk over here so I'm not blocking the screen so you all can see it. Hello, Hannah.
Hello.
I'm going to read this benediction, so please remain standing. And you can close your eyes if you want. You can not, whatever you feel comfortable with. But please receive these words. No matter who you are or what you've done, who you love or what you've lost, where you've been or where you've stayed, there will always be a seat for you at the table because you, yes, you, are a beloved child of God, and beloved, you do indeed.